We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 544, I think. Friday Fives. Happy Friday, Scott. As we're recording this Thursday after a gut-wrenching loss, I'm going to say. Thursday afternoon, you expect going into Thursday afternoon with Cole on the mound after you won the first two, you're like, okay, I'm smelling sweet. And they didn't get it.
No, they got snake bit a little bit, but I'm not going to walk out of that series and be dejected by any means, because I think that they showed a lot of what we wanted to see in this series. They took the first two games. They got themselves in a position with Cole on the mound for the third game. And unfortunately, you know, a couple of home runs. And then Altuve, of course, is the guy that puts it out at the end, which was, you know, just not what you want, in the words of a former manager. Not what you want, but at the end of the day, I think they won the series. They beat Houston. They came out and showed a lot of energy. I thought showed a lot of fight in the beginning of that series. Giancarlo Stanton, who we'll talk about, is on another planet. But collectively, I'm happy with what I've seen this week. I am.
That's where we will start. Number one takeaway from the week was the atmosphere at the stadium. I thought, I said this in the little intro I did for Simon Brundish, which the episode came out Thursday. Go listen to that. Sports scientist, really had a good time talking to him about load management. But I said this in the little brief I did there. This finally felt like it had some juice. Like, just that the atmosphere Tuesday night, first pitch, with the booing the crap out of Altuve. He definitely got it the hardest in the three-game series. But finally, like, there was a few more people in the stands. I think they were up to like 10 or 12,000 people. Obviously, everyone was on their feet the entire time booing.
It also looked like a lot of people moved down towards the field. So it looked like it was more condensed around the bowl almost towards the field. So
I think it
got louder for that reason.
It piqued my attention. It was an exciting game on Tuesday, and it just overall piqued my attention. And it was fun to see how much people were into it. Not that I didn't think they would be into it, but I'm just, a part of me is like, well, how much really can 10,000 people make an impact when it's a 50,000 person stadium? Like, it's hard, but I felt like they did. They did make an impact, especially. Oh,
they certainly did. There's no doubt that they did. Everybody at Yankee Stadium was loud as fuck. They were relentless too. I think that's one of the best attributes of the Yankee fan, specifically at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, is we are relentless. I mean, it doesn't stop. Everybody was destroying the Yankee fans, which I thought was an interesting dynamic here. When we were a couple of years ago, when we were right in the center of the Uber chant, and then social media just destroyed all of the Yankees fans. But relentless. It's a passionate fan base that's relentless. And when you saw here for this particular game, it was funny because the dynamic was like all of baseball and baseball fans were rooting for the Yankees and wishing that the Yankees fans who they would shit on all the time in every other circumstance, gave it to them as hard as possible. And I don't think they let anybody down. They were all over Altuve the entire series, but that first night was by far the most vocal that they were. Consistent fuck Altuve chants, consistent asshole chants. Well, it was beautiful.
Best chant of the three-game series was today on Altuve's birthday. The Bleacher Creatures just started yelling, fuck your birthday, which is just so simple. It's so brilliant.
Yeah, they're the best chance absolutely come out of that stadium. So
do you agree?
There's no question about it.
Do you agree that Altuve should have gotten it the hardest? Because we, on our last episode before the series, we put the number one jackass on that team as Carlos Correa, just because he keeps yapping and yapping and yapping. But Altuve got it the hardest because I think of the buzzer suspicion and people
believe. And the impact. Altuve hit a home run. Altuve won the MVP over Aaron Judge. There's a lot more of the actual impact that Altuve made for that year than anybody else. Altuve was the number one impact guy on that team, especially against the New York Yankees. So they went at the guy who is the most, he's the MVP. He's their best player. So of course you go after that guy. And yeah, the buzzer thing with them running around, or buzzer or no buzzer, whatever it is, still believe that there is a buzzer. But They picked the right guy. They picked the right guy.
The three-run home run off Green today. I mean, that's kind of just a mismatch, unfortunately. Green did not have his location today, so he could not locate his off-speed pitch. So Altuve was sitting all over fastball. And to boot, Altuve is a good high fastball hitter. That's what Green threw him on a 3-2 pitch, and he hit it over the fence.
It was sucks. Almost in the same place as the Gurriel pitch when Gurriel hit it off of Chad Green. It was almost in this. It was an inside fastball.
But it was so obvious what Altuve was going to. I knew he was going to throw him a high fastball in that situation. And it doesn't take a genius. You don't need a buzzer to know that's what he was getting in that situation.
Well, it wasn't high enough. It wasn't high enough, and it wasn't in enough. The situation was that he hit it. Whatever. It is what it is. It was good for him because of what happened that week. Like he was
not
so
good
happy
for him.
About
screw
that.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Good for him. Not good for him.
No, I said it was good for him, for Altuve. Okay. I'm not saying good for him. No, that guy, I will never say that. I'm saying it was good for him because of the way that he got it all, which pisses me off that it was good for him. So unfortunately, that's the way it went down today. But again, it doesn't take away anything that I think from this series. I thought that the guys showed a lot of fight. They showed a lot of caring. I mean, just you hear the post-game comments from LeMahieu, and they fired me up big when I'm listening to him talk about, yeah, they did circle this. Yes, this was a different series. Yes, they wanted to make a stand here. They wanted to, it felt different. They appreciate the fans had their back. They know that they felt it. I don't know. It was a good connector there for LeMahieu talking the way he did towards the fans and the approach that they had at this game, because they don't like the Astros. That's apparent. And I like that they're saying that because it's a connection with the fans. It really is.
Add it to the list, I guess. Maybe we have to update our list of why you should hate the Astros. They actually have complained to Major League Baseball about being heckled this year. How obtuse are you guys? You didn't expect this. This was not expected as you actually are playing in front of fans. You have to wear this. You earned everything. You have to wear this and shut up. You cannot submit a complaint about getting heckled. That is absolute horse crap.
It just continues to speak to the organizational failures of the Houston Astros. The fact that they are being whiny little bitches, and it's not even just the players. It's the people behind the scenes acting like little bitches, trying to get people's signs taken away. And like all of that is just motivation to want to kick their ass even more on the field. And it's just fuel for the fire here. It's a whiny little bitch organization. And I hate them. I do. I truly hate that team. Number two, Giancarlo Stanton is basically hotter than he's ever been as a New York Yankee. The guy is absolutely unconscious. He's hitting everything. And it's beautiful because when you see, we've talked about Giancarlo Stanton in the sense that when he's good, he's one of the best in the game. When he's bad, he looks like he's never played baseball before. And the contrast is so very crazy to think about. But right now, the man is locked in. The swing is like nice and the hands are tight to the body, like he's short to the ball. And he's so goddamn strong that even that ball on, what day is today? Thursday, on Wednesday night, that was hit kind of at the end of the bat, was, you know, into the left field bleachers. I mean, he smoked and crushed the ball, and it was not, he did not barrel it up either. But yeah, he's amazing. He's absolutely on fire right now.
Well, it's absolutely the hottest he's ever been as a Yankee. And shout out to Kyle Radley, who found this streak that he had, which is a long streak, from July to late August, over 204 plate appearances back in 2017 when he was still with the Marlins. He was hitting 353, 461, 935 with 29 home runs in that stretch. So that's like a 2-month stretch that he was just absolutely on fire. And right now what we're dealing with is a week plus 50 plate appearances. Coming into Thursday, he had 24 hits, 5 homers, batting .500. And he ended up going 1-for-4 on Thursday, did hit a home run. And yeah, I agree with you. The swing just looks a lot more simple. I mean, he struck out twice today on some pitches out of the strike zone, but right now, it's so fun when he comes up to the plate. I commented on Twitter. I was like, streaks like this for any player are so fleeting because, you know, no one's going to hit 500 for over a long stretch. Like, it's just impossible. So you have to enjoy it while it lasts because he's on another level right now. And he will, whether you want to call this a hot streak, a market correction, whatever you want to call it. He's playing on another level. And yeah, his stats will balance out in the end, but just enjoy this hot streak while it lasts. And I guess the unfortunate, ironic thing for the Yankees is as soon as Giancarlo seemed to take off, Judge kind of went cold, because Judge had been on a little bit of a hot streak, and he wore the rare platinum sombrero on Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, yeah.
Five strikeouts, and it was seven straight strikeouts in plate appearances for Aaron Judge at one point. So ugly at-bats from Judge. But yeah, Stanton, I tweeted out semi-jokingly on Tuesday after he hit the first inning home run off Greinke, when it put the Yankees in the lead, and Bregman had hit the home run in the top of the first inning, and it's kind of like, ugh, is this what we're really going to do against the Astros? And then boom, Stanton hits a home run immediately. I tweeted out biggest home run of Stanton's career, semi-jokingly, but at the same time, it felt like that in the moment, because this series was so important, I feel. And so I know he's hit bigger home runs because he's hit playoff home runs, but I'm sorry, that was a huge home run he hit on Tuesday night off Greinke in the first inning.
Yeah, it was because it was an immediate answer. The Astros had taken the lead there, and that's never a good thing. You know, the crowd can get deflated, especially after they're fired up a little bit. So when you get that crowd back immediately, when there's an immediate answer, you know, we saw Didi had done this in the playoffs multiple times. God damn it, I need to stop talking about Didi. It makes me think and miss. But you bring the crowd right back into it, and then you double down because they get that much more fired up because it's an answer by the player to the team that you hate. So it's just fuel. It's absolutely beautiful fuel. So yeah, it was good to see, man. It was a big home run. It was a big home run because it set the tone.
And let's hope this streak continues for at least a few more games for Stanton. Number three, Domingo Germán. Last week we asked, is Domingo Germán good or is it just him facing poor competition? And I don't want to say he was bad against Houston. He threw five innings, four hits, three runs. He allowed two home runs. He did strike out six and only walk one. But I mean, he obviously did not look nearly as dominant as he did against Cleveland and really against Baltimore. And that's the competition. So, but if you get five innings and three runs out of Germán off of a team like Houston, I think you kind of got to take that, even though it's not nearly as good as his prior outings.
No, and I think that, I mean, he certainly battled. There's no doubt he battled. He missed location, and the Astros took advantage of that, but he battled through. Like, I thought he was even going to get pulled before having... Boone's made some interesting decisions because with this one,
we have to talk about this.
Lucky coming in that inning. Yes, the double play was one of the most beautiful double play. It was a beautiful double play. A beautiful double play. It really was gorgeous.
It was a hard hit ball up the middle that very easily could have been first and third with one out. Yeah. You use Lucas.
I don't understand the trust factor and why he's coming in that game at that point.
What the hell are you doing?
But
tie game, you know, in the sixth
Justin
inning.
Wilson give up a home run tonight. The pecking order in the bullpen, it's worked so many times that I think that it's hard to crush him because he's had success with these guys. Whether I know his name is different, but it's worked, and it did work there. You got a ground ball, higher percentage chance of getting that out with a ground ball, double play worked out, being a hard hit helped the double play. But then the next night you see Monty coming out, and what happened with Monty? I thought he was definitely going to get pulled. When he got into trouble, Boone left him in, came out for another inning, and actually buckled down and was able to, you know, put down a really good start and battled through adversity. It was like he's using some eye tests in certain cases and actually going with what he feels like the guy is doing in that current moment. And I appreciated that.
Here's what I don't understand about the Tuesday night bullpen usage. So he uses Lickey in a tie game in the sixth inning. Against the, it was 2-3-4 in the Houston lineup. Okay, so he starts him off lefty on lefty. That's why I guess he started him, because Brantley bats second. But then you've got, it's the heart of the order, which for Houston, I mean, they still have a fantastic lineup. Okay, then the Yankees score four runs. So they go up 7-3. And then you use Johnny Loaisiga when you're up four runs. Loaisiga is a higher leverage guy than Lickey. Right? Loaisiga has put himself firmly in a high leverage situation for the Yankees. Why aren't you going to use him when it's a tie game? And then keep the game in hand while you're tied. Why then go to him after you score four runs? It's just, it's ass backwards.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there was a matchup that they were looking at, and probably Brantley was the guy that had circled, and I don't know what the numbers were saying. But I'm not going to spend all that much time on it because it worked at the end of the day, and he's going to make these baffling moves all year long, but this one worked. So I'm okay with it. Number four, we got Odor and the Maldonado collision at the plate. This thing looked ugly. Definitely. First of all, Odor has become, dare I say, like a fan favorite, even though the guy's hitting like .175. He's still got the production numbers in there that in a shorter amount of time, it seems like he's doing much better than that. But when you look at his numbers, you're like, whoa, I didn't realize it was that low. But he's definitely become more of a fan favorite, I'd say, because of the moments when he has spiked. Coming home, that collision looked like his knee was just shot backwards the other way.
I thought his season was over.
Full-blown hyperextension. Slide, brother, and just don't have that happen. And, you know, we wouldn't have be talking about this. But looks like he kind of escaped it. He got moved to the 10-day DL. He was walking in the dugout. I think even with some of these, sometimes when you have an ACL, when there is a hurt ACL, you still see guys walk off occasionally. And then, you know, the swelling and everything, the impact comes later. But hopefully he avoided something major.
Yeah, and Boone said he actually thinks he did avoid something major, which is good. Quick update on what they ended up doing with the roster. They recalled Albert Abreu. Boone said that they considered Miguel Andujar, but they would rather see him get regular at-bats as he's coming back from injury in the minors. So even an injury can't get Andujar to the majors. I don't know when or how he's going to get on this major league roster.
Well, I think what they're looking to see if he's going to be hitting down there, and if he does start it changes their strategy a bit. But I feel like they want to see it down there first.
Yeah, the number five thing. This one is just silly. I think that baseball and ESPN took the May the 4th Star Wars Day a little bit too far this year. So MLB tweeted out a picture of Yankee Stadium looking gorgeous, and they said it's looking like Tatooine. And if you've seen even one Star Wars movie, you know that Tatooine is a desert planet. And I see in this picture lush green grass, so I don't quite know what they were going for there. You gotta fire that social media intern. And then ESPN broadcast, I didn't get this because I'm in market, so I couldn't see it, but ESPN broadcasted Tuesday's game in full Star Wars. Like, everyone was dressed as Star Wars. Carl Ravers is dressed up like Luke Skywalker. Tim Kirchin is Yoda, which is perfect, by the way. They're doing forced puns and all this crap. It's just like, all right, guys, like, take a step back. We don't need to go this far on the Star Wars day.
I mean, they were wearing masks and then talking into the, and I'm not talking about masks like, you know, COVID pandemic masks. They were wearing like Yoda masks, and it was, and trying to do a broadcast. It was very strange. I'm like, can we take the masks off, guys, and just be able to talk through it? No, yeah, they took it too far. Disney had nothing to do with that. Nothing. All right. Looking ahead to the weekend, we got the Washington Nationals coming in. Yankees are facing some good pitching. Got Patrick Corbin, who's not having a good year, but we know what he is. We know what he was last year. Big strikeout guy. Yankees were flirting with him. In free agency, a million people wanted to sign him. Scherzer is on Saturday. He's being exactly who he is. And then Joe Ross on Sunday. So it'll be interesting for the Yankees to go up against some damn good pitching this weekend.
Scherzer with some trade rumors. And there's actual reports from legitimate baseball writers that these trade rumors this year could be legit, because the Nationals seem like their window has closed as far as winning a championship. And obviously Scherzer's got a massive contract and he's still a good pitcher. So they might look to get a pretty big haul for him this year. It's kind of interesting. If he does go on the move, he could completely swing a team for championship contention.
I still have a hard time seeing them trading him right now, because of when at full strength, they still have Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg. And then you add in, you know, the remaining guys, Ross, and you look at their offense and you look at like Trey Turner as a young guy. They have, you know, clearly they have Juan Soto and a few other guys that are dynamic players and young. I don't see their window closing. They just gave a massive contract to Strasburg, you know, that was what, 5 years, 6 years? What
seven.
Was it?
Seven years.
Ridiculous. And so I think that if they were to trade him right now, it would be very confusing to, one, their fans, and two, to the players on the team. I think it would be very confusing because they do have a actually pretty good young position player core.
Oh, for sure. And I would put this at like a 5 or 10% chance of actually happening. But it's, you know, that name is always going to be intriguing. The number two,
Aroldis Chapman, looking forward. We have the Aroldis Chapman, who is absolutely on fire. 0 runs given up on the year. How long can this actually go on? 11 innings pitched, 38 batters faced, 26 strikeouts, 0 earned runs. The man has looked absolutely unhittable because he has been unhittable.
So how long is he going to go before he gives up a run?
Is this another over under? I'm going to say he goes all the way. June 15th.
June 15th.
Let's go.
I mean, you're just pulling that out of your ass, but yeah.
June 15th.
This is everyone saying it. This is the best he's looked because he now has 3 pitches that he's very confident in and he's locating. I mean, the walks are down too. And you know, he's got that cocky swag on the mound. So I don't know about June 15th. He'll eventually give up a run. He'll probably give up a solo home run at some point, but yeah, Chapman feeling more confident than ever when Chapman comes in the game. The number three thing is, when will Glaber hit a home run? Glaber's looked much better. He's playing better defense. He had an amazing base running play today, heads up base running, where he went first to home on a Hicks infield single.
What are you doing? Glaber, where are you going? Go! It's like the emotions of that swing were ridiculous.
Just a super heads up play with the shift on, no one covering third, and then the catcher goes over to cover third, and he's like, oh, no one's at home. I'm going to beat the catcher home. So, I mean, Glaber's just playing much better baseball than he was to start the season, but he still has a 0 in the home run column. This is a guy who hit 38 home runs in 2019. When's he going to hit a home run? I feel like it's becoming a thing now, and if it starts to get in his head, it's like, okay, I'm still without a home run. His last regular season home run came September 17th of last year. He did hit a home run in the playoffs in game 4 of the ALDS, though. But it's been a while since he's gone deep.
All right. Number 4, Luke Voit. Luke Voit is rehabbing. He is, about 6 weeks from surgery. That's if he were to come back in mid-May. That's when he would be 6 weeks from surgery. Definitely looks, one, good to see him back on the field. Good to see him actually hitting the ball. Definitely saw him jogging around after a home run. Jogging around.
You mean limping? Like,
couldn't tell if it was a big boy jog, you know, just a little swag jog or a limp. I don't know, but definitely good to see him back. And it's all part of the rehab. So we're looking at him hopefully coming back soon and helping this roster.
One thing I just want to note with Voit, when he does return, I'm wondering if we could get a few games where Voit at first, Glaber at second, Gio at short, DJ at third.
It would be interesting to see that. I think they're going to experiment a little bit, so we'll see.
And hopefully, it's just injury-related news to the infield. Hopefully, Gio is okay. He left the game, I guess, MRI on his knee after the game. The last thing, Luis Severino, his rehab is going as planned, and he is due to face hitters next week in Tampa. So don't mistake this for Severino's going to be back on the mound in the Bronx next week or ASAP, but that's good. He's facing live hitters. That's going to do it for Friday Fives. If you couldn't tell, we are in the time crunch and we had to power through that. We appreciate everyone listening. Go check out the episode I did with Simon Brundage. We will talk to you guys on Monday.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.